Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Today we gather in public worship of Almighty God to sing together the hymns of faith. Let us worship God in spirit and in truth. We invite your prayers and responses. Please note possibilities for ministry and pastoral support available on our website, including many activities Sunday through Friday available this and every week. Wednesday, we celebrate here at 3 p.m. the life of the 8th president of Boston University, John Westling. Friday at 8 p.m. brings our autumn concert, Marsh Chapel Choir and Collegium, Dr. Jarrett conducting. And next Sunday, 11 a.m., is our second Bach experience of the fall. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. As we are able, may we stand in the praise of God. We pray. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and charity, and that we may obtain what you promise. Make us love what you command. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. We come, beloved, to a moment of confession as the choir will guide us. And in doing so, we remember the encouragement of Holy Writ. Pray at all times in the Spirit. with prayer and supplication, supplication for all of the saints. Herein in supplication for all, we confess our sin and recognize our need for contrition, confession, and lament, awaiting the peace and the pardon of Almighty God, trusting in the peace and the pardon of Almighty God. As the choir guides us, let us pray. Good news, if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thanks be to God.
A lesson from the book of Job, chapter 42, verses 1 through 6. Then Job answered the Lord, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you declare to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Please join me in saying verses from Psalm 34, verses 1 through 8, beginning with the antiphon. Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor soul cried and was heard by the Lord and was saved from every trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. Let us stand as we are able for the singing of the Gloria Patri and the reading of the Gospel.
Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Glory to you, O Lord. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Our faith can make us better if and as post-COVID we carry out the quiet. Much of the Bible is about failure, difficulty, and defeat. Many of its stories, letters, and teachings record ways people have lived with difficulty, defeat, and failure. This makes the Bible a challenge for us to understand. For we as a people have run and swatted and laughed our way past learning the language of failure. We don't admit to it. We won't accept it. We do not countenance it. Even when sometimes we clearly lose, we have a hard time admitting it. And this goes well beyond sports and politics. We forget Abraham Lincoln, who in loss could say, "It hurts too much to laugh, but I'm way too old to cry." So sermons, this one and others, which are mere fumbling footnotes to Holy Scripture, hit us from the side if they hit us at all. But by grace, it is the resurrected Christ who addresses us in the preaching of the church and in the announcement of the gospel. The passages of the gospel allow us safe passage into the gospel because Jesus is present to us. Bultmann. In all the sayings of Jesus which were reported, he speaks who is recognized in faith and worship as Messiah and Lord, and who, as the proclamation makes known his work and hands on his sayings, is actually present for the church. This morning, our blind beggar, Bartimaeus, Tim's son, shouts out an unexpected name tag for Jesus, Son of David. To call Jesus such is to remember failure, to remember difficulty, to remember warnings unheeded from a long ago, to remember David. And to remember David, you have to remember Saul. And to remember Saul, you have to remember Samuel, and so on. Bartimaeus calls Jesus by the name of David. David, the personification of millennial portent, of national pride, and of Psalm 51 failure. Son of David. He throws off his garment, maybe a sign of baptism, and comes naked to see if there is another chance for him. Here is another in Mark's book of secret epiphanies. His faith has made him well, says the scripture, a saying and a truth most precious to Martin Luther, whose reformation we honor next Sunday. Luther, who fearlessly, willfully, and willingly forever splintered the unity of the church into pieces, fragments, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of getting better. Faith is God's work in us that changes us and gives us new birth from God. It kills the old Adam and makes us completely different people. It changes our hearts, our spirits, our thoughts, and all our powers. It brings the Holy Spirit with it. Yes, faith is a living, creative, active, and powerful thing. Faith cannot help doing good works constantly. Our Gospel of Mark seldom uses the title Son of David in order that Jesus not be mistaken for the hoped-for national Messiah, the hoped-for political conqueror, the hoped-for restorer of Israel. Mark's Jesus is known by faith in and through failure, difficulty, and defeat. And sure enough, are you ready for faith? Are we ready for faith? Here it is. Good news this morning. Your faith has made you well. The gift of our faith can make you, well, at least a little better than you might have been otherwise. This is the discipline of faith, discipleship made real in earnest living, in daily discipline. You can hear the beautiful head of the Charles Regatta behind us today, but the beauty of it comes from discipline. Rowing crew workouts at 5:30 a.m. on the Charles, rain or shine. This too is BU Parents Weekend. This Parents Weekend, we can honor both our biological and our spiritual parents, both our physical and our personal mothers and fathers, who have taught us by example the disciplines of faith. Of blessed memory, Barbara Steen, our dear friend in her late 80s, still making a daily list of five people to telephone each day. Of blessed memory, Joe Yackel, who said of ministry, the one-on-one things, those are the most important. Discipline is itself a reminder to us this morning that life is unspeakably precious. We learn this again in peril. A dream hurts and astonishes us, waking us in a sweat as we or someone we love in the dream or something we truly dream dies. A novel or film grip us with a reminder that life is fragile, sacred, brief, uncanny, unfathomable, in a word, precious. A verse of scripture, not say that one interpreted in the sermon, but a bystander reading, a lectionary reminder, a fellow traveler in worship. Job, say, rather than Mark, rises up and holds us by the throat. All flesh is grass and it withers and fades. All flesh is grass and it withers and fades. All flesh is grass and it withers and fades. An accident, say a car ahead hitting a deer on the shoulder of the road, and we are again jolted. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Life is unspeakably precious. This fall in the close to post-pandemic pileup, meetings now held, weddings rescheduled for the fourth time, a conversation about conflict postponed until face can meet face and eye can meet eye and I can meet thou. This fall with that vast continuing underground of unearthed anxiety, depression, worry, concern, exhaustion, dismay, fury, incomprehension, all of which stand us up to be reminded, life is precious. We are given, you are given, I am given, one day at a time, one year at a time, one season at a time, and with no particular guarantees, none really, of what may or may not, in fact, follow. Yet in this precious life, we also realize we can face this. We can do this. We've learned it. We can do this. It may be difficult, even close to awful, but we can do it. Teaching by Zoom, learning by Zoom, sort of teaching, sort of learning by Zoom, not really teaching and not really learning by Zoom. You have survived and lived to tell the tale. Listen to some of the most honest, least jaded voices, elementary age students, in this case, our grandchildren, looking back a year. My teacher piled up things in a folder and expected we would find them. I could not understand what the teacher was saying, and I could not figure out how to ask what it meant. Sitting looking at that screen was just awful. It was really stressful. And my music teacher would not let us sing, saying, I'm not getting the Rona just so you can sing. It was really difficult. COVID. No fellowship before, during, or after class. No learning from or with peers. No seminar surprises, awakenings, unexpected and unplanned encounters. Zoom kept students occupied, teachers working, and schools above water. But at what lasting, further, and future cost? We learned that we can do things we detest when we have to do things we detest. And, sad to say, we have been again reminded that when the going gets toughest, those on the margins have it toughest. Under tents along the railroad track, in encampments in one bowery or another, in poor homes without more than water and some cornflakes to eat, in bad water and leaded pipes to boot, in tiny conditions not fit for human living, but still a roof and a sink and a sagging sofa, panhandling for change at a highway exit after a lifetime of employment, in a wheelchair in front of a thriving Dunkin' Donuts, spending a first night with little children in a shelter for battered women. Or look in another direction. Look at real estate prices. Look at the stock market. Look at automobile values. Look at vacation home values. Look at the gains, the profits, the advance in abundance, and the abundance of advance for some. But these advances were made possible, based on and protected and built on 12-hour nursing shifts, burials without family and without full protection, ventilators ventilating the soon-to-be-dead, police and firefighters whose duties never decrease and never cease, on call forever, physicians, teachers, counselors, clergy, technicians, home health aides, Salvation Army food providers, plumbers, electricians, chefs, fast food workers, Uber drivers, janitors, sewage system workers, bus drivers, Peapod deliverers. And we complain that minimum wage has risen to the astronomical height of $15 an hour? Really? Also, we learned silence. Fear not the fallow, said Dean Thurman. Carry out the quiet, said Dean Hill. You do not need endless cable TV to have a happy life. The same for email, Zoom, texting, techne, all. Carry out the quiet. For a good life, you do and will need quiet. Pandemic, for all its needless, heedless, and grotesque trauma, afforded for those who could receive it a modicum and measure of quiet. Soon we will be dead. Why live as if you were temporarily immortal? You and I are not immortal, not even temporarily. And more than a fat bank account, and more than a new motorboat, and more than a raise or promotion or election or victory, we need quiet. Carry out the quiet from the pandemic. Our faith can make us better if and as post-COVID we carry out the quiet. That is, you need an hour a day, 8 a.m. You need a day a week, Sunday. You need a week a quarter, Thanksgiving. You need a quarter a year, summer. Carry out the quiet. For a year and a half after writing and recording the sermon, there was a new hour listening to the finished recording, and then another new hour listening to the broadcast come Sunday. In COVID, two new and fresh hours of golden quiet. And we became radio listeners ourselves, alongside our global faithful radio congregation. Two new hours
golden quiet, golden quiet. Quiet makes, nay, forces you to think. All these years, did you really need to be running to another fruitless meeting, stopping for another mundane consultation, attending another marginal event, traveling to another desultory location, attending yet another obligatory denominational session, serving up yet another underappreciated lunch or dinner or social or gathering? Carry out the quiet, especially if you are an extrovert, or even an extreme extrovert. Carry out the blessed quiet from COVID. Carry out the quiet. It is the bassinet of faith, and your faith can make you, if not well, at least well, better. By the time we became truly comfortable with COVID quiet, loneliness, and stillness, it had ended. But it carried a lasting and an authentic question of faith within the divine gift of faith, a kind of healing unto spiritual sight, a kind of healing unto spiritual sight. Beloved, can you carry out of pandemic a purposeful respect for quiet? Can I? Especially now? For the preacher, like the artist, and for the life of faith for all in all, in times of crisis and great injustice, some inner distance from the maelstrom is required. In times of crisis and great injustice, some inner distance from the maelstrom is required. Your faith makes you better, and we are better when we carry out the quiet day by day. For some of the summer, we rely on NPR radio alone, its classical music and occasional weather and news as our only technological engagement with the wider world. At first, the abstinence from all other is jarring, but then, alone in the early mornings, when the fitful restlessness of work life gradually abates, as it can over time, if we give it time, as Admiral Lindbergh reminded us, sometimes there is quiet, and in the quiet sometimes there is a momentous moment. The announcer that morning said something about Debussy, whom you may remember from Required, back in the days of Required courses, college introduction to music, sat on a carpet and listened and were tested later on Baroque, classical, romantic, impressionist, and contemporary music. Debussy, the French name, made a mark. Then onto the radio waves came a light flowing harp beauty. It was a shimmering beauty, light and alluring, quiet, gentle, unlike really anything one could remember hearing before. The host named the piece as an arabesque, perhaps the second such from Debussy, though we may have mistaken that. And the lake breeze lifted the notes, and there was throughout the room for a few fine minutes a shimmering beauty. Like its cousins, truth and goodness, such a beauty leaves a mark, makes a lasting mark, a beauty mark, you could say. Time stops, imagination awakens, troubles recede, and you are caught up in something larger than yourself, as sometimes happens in religious experience too, even in church, even in the course of ahead of the Charles Parents Weekend sermon meant to remind you that your faith has made or can make you better. In this music, it seemed to this untrained ear, there rose and fell a kind of oriental melody, a lightness, a veiled impression. And it seemed that the better person to listen was the non-musician, the kind of person listening in that moment, who has no musical education, other than that incurred through a short course, a spouse, a family, and various church musicians. It is the ear often, rather than the eye, voice rather than face, the audible invisible that carries an uncanny power. That is the power of the triumph of the invisible over the visible. The voice remains with us. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Master, let me receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." May faith make us well, or at least a little better. Our faith can make us better if and as post-COVID we carry out the quiet. Amen.
Be seated. As we are called to prayer through our singing of "Lead Me, Lord," we invite you to pray in the ways that will most assist you to join in with the prayers of our community. Stand or kneel at the altar rail, raise your hands in your seat, pray in the language that brings you closest to God. I will set the intention, and at the end I will say, "In your grace," if you would please respond, "Hear our prayer." Dearly beloved, let us pray together. You who are one, you who are three, one God in holy community, we who are created in your image are glad and grateful for your presence with us as source of all life and Christ and Spirit, for your encouragement by your gifts and fruits in our lives, for your empowerment to grow in love and to choose the good. In your grace of invitation and inclusion, we pray. For ourselves, as individuals, and for the communities of which we are a part, for our particular ministries in the world, for our ministry in and through Marsh Chapel and the Office of Religious Life, for the work of all the church. In your grace, hear our prayer. With and for our cousins and neighbors in faith traditions not our own, and with and for all people of goodwill, for the works of blessing, courage, and peace, in and through us all, for the life of the world. In your grace, hear our prayer. for the nations and peoples of the world, for the leaders amongst them, and for the ways of peace amongst us all. In your grace, hear our prayer. For the health of creation, for our earth and air and water, for our companion animals, birds, insects, and plants. In your grace, hear our prayer. For those who disagree with us, and those who wish us harm, and for all those who we ourselves have injured or offended. In your grace, hear our prayer. For those individuals and communities who face particular challenges of mind, body, spirit, relationship. In your grace, hear our prayer. For those who have died, for their family and friends, for your will fulfilled in them, and for our sharing with all your saints in the life to come. In your grace, hear our prayer. For the celebrations, milestones, and joys of our human life with thanksgiving. In your grace, hear our prayer. In all these things, we pray in trust as you pray with us in your compassion too deep for words. Amen. And continuing in our prayer together, as our Lord Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
For all that draws us to what is meaningful in life, we are thankful. Let us continue to worship together by presenting our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Gracious God, you bless us with gifts of guidance, new life, growth in grace, and fruitful labor. Bless and multiply these gifts to our nurture and the care of your creation. For the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord, support us all the day long of this troublous life until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes and the busy world is hushed and the fever of life is over and our work is done. Then in thy mercy grant us a safe rest, a happy lodging, and peace at the last through Christ our Lord. Amen.